100 Word Stories. Hi, everybody. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. Weekly challenge. Post a topic, come up with a bunch of stories, see what folks have. The topic was trench, and we'll see what you came up with. I know what I came up with. Forgetting to use the Yeti microphone for half the stuff. So it's like, oh, shit. You know, this week has just absolutely sucked. Let's just get this over with, okay? Maybe next week will be better. We'll see. But here it is. Trench, the stories you came up with. Let's just sit back and enjoy.
The old man stumbled out of the bar and plodded onward by foot. It rained heavily and was very dark. He slid down the roadside mud and tumbled into a trench. He flashed back to his army days in such trenches and drifted off to sleep. At dawn, he awoke to multiple rounds of gunfire. Was he dreaming of the war? No. He was on the shooting range of an army base. A voice called out, "Cease fire! Men on the range!" The MPs dragged him to the nearest clinic, mine. I asked, "Exposure?" They replied, "And also quite drunk."
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, coming to you from still snowy and icy Maryland, with a couple of stories for week 463 on the topic of trench. My first story is called Freedom of Speech. Once there was a king who ruled with an iron fist. He worried about his image, however, so he frequently proclaimed that, unlike neighboring kingdoms, he tolerated dissent. What the king didn't mention was that anyone who wanted to speak against the regime could do so only in the royal park. True to his word, the king allowed everyone to say his piece. Then he gave the signal to his guards, who killed the dissenters to the last man, rolled the bodies in a trench, and refilled the trench with dirt. Freedom of speech was important, the king thought, but so was a peaceful rule. And my second story is called In the Trenches. The Andersons had been married for a quarter century, and most of those years had been unhappy ones. She nagged him to do more around the house. He nagged her to learn to cook better. She complained he needed to find a higher-paying job. He responded she needed to find a job that paid anything, and perhaps she wouldn't nag him about money as often, and so on. Witnessing another skirmish in the eternal trench warfare between the couple, Mrs. Anderson's mother asked why they didn't simply divorce. The pair replied in unison, "What, and ruin the happiness of two other people?" And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning. This is Richard, and I'm quite tired today, mainly because I've spent over 8 hours travelling for a 1 hour meeting. Still, it gave me plenty of time to write some stories, and here is George's story, part 96, based on the topic of trench. Rude awakening. George felt as if he was slowly surfacing from a deep and murky trench. As the drug took effect, his memories came flooding back. The application he'd filled out, the acceptance letter, the medical, and the last words spoken by the doctor. When you wake up, you won't remember a thing. Now he remembered everything. "Hello, Julie," he mumbled to the woman, or rather, as he now realized, rather foolishly, his wife. Stood in front of him. "What are you doing here?" "George Atwell," she frowned at him. "Before we even go there, you have some serious explaining to do." Story number two is Entrenched. This is take four. Dad's vegetable plot was his pride and joy. So you can imagine his dismay when the local population of rabbits moved in. After a week of nibbled and ruined vegetables, he'd had enough, With murder in his eyes, he headed out to the patch, armed with a shovel. A week later, I gingerly approached the now massive trench he dug. He challenged me. "Who goes there? Friend or foe?" "It's me, Dad. What's going on?" "You don't understand, son. This is war." His head suddenly appeared above the trench wall. Then he lobbed a loaded carrot straight at me. And that's your lot. Two stories. Not a lot, I know, for 8 hours of travelling, but what the hell? Who cares? Speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got two stories for you. The first, The Line Must Hold. Lionel Atwater leaned against the earthen wall of Bond Street. He took out the letter from Mary, not so much to reread the words, but to touch one thing separated from the carnage about him, the paper nearly transparent, and the edge of each letter ringed in a random run of ink. It would not survive the war. The sky was the color of aged cellophane as he made his way along the main trench. There was work to be done at the chessboard. Signal Corpsman Atwater returned to his wireless. All dispatches ended with the same sign-off, TLMH. And the second story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, Part 96. When Dr. Proctor materialized, he was standing ankle-deep in brackish water in an earthen trench that disappeared into a red horizon. A young soldier greeted him. "Timmy?" "Yes, Dr. Proctor, or at least one of the possible Timmys. He hasn't made his mind up. So I may not be here very long. I don't understand. Do you know what the Tamburlaine is?" "I was told it was an atomic recombinator." "Well, you got the first part right, but it's not atomic." Everything shifted to green. The walls of the Imperial Capital emerged. A different Timmy said, "It recombines reality." And that's it.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. Pitch darkness, freezing temperatures, and fresh air. That would pulp you in an instant. Welcome to my world. There's a reason I choose this hell as my home. It keeps you tiresome humans out of my way. The deep ocean trenches are one of the few remaining places you've yet to invade. But you don't stop trying. Those creaks you hear are not just stressed metal under intense pressure. And that tapping isn't the sound of cabling against the hull. What you hear is me, slowly unscrewing the bolts that hold your fragile lives in the balance. Welcome to my world.
This is Zach Mann, and here's my story. "Oh, dearest, I've come all this way. Now there's a trench between us." "Yes, my love, that's the Marianera Trench." "Isn't that the Marianas Trench? And I thought that was in the ocean." "It's still in the Pacific, but this is definitely the Marianera Trench. After we discovered these zombies hate tomato sauce, we dug a giant trench around the city, then filled it with spaghetti sauce to quarantine them and us. Oh, dearest, this trip will be worth it if only I can hear those three special words. I'm not infected. Dearest, that sounds even better than I love you.
Hi there, Anima here with my submission for this week's weekly challenge. This story is my love. My love for you is truer than a compass pointing north. It is surer than a snow-white mountain goat and tastier than spinach feta pie. My love, dear heart, is deeper than the Marianas Trench and as unending as the Rose Bowl Parade. It defies gravity like Cirque Soleil acrobats. I am more faithful than a black Labrador, more loving than a 12-year-old tabby. I will cherish you until the sun rises in the west and sets in the east. But if you eat the last of the Oreo ice cream, I will eviscerate you and move on. Thanks. Have a great week.
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. Words trenched into the stone. They could be seen clearly even 40 years later. The excitement of revisiting this secret place made him recall the pact of silence with his sister. He knelt to greet her. Her blonde hair had grown thin. I came back. She smiled continuously, half of her teeth missing. Yes, they don't know you're here. They never will. As he slid the stone back in place to hide the entrance to the cave, he read those words one last time. I hate you. He had written them himself with great effort back when he was 10. And this was my story for this week, taught by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com. And don't forget, I'm at Milkwood in Second Life Saturdays at noon, Second Life time, hosting a write-in. If you are working on a long-term project or short-term, why not drop by and enjoy the company of other people who are also writing? Why not drop by and write the next story for this podcast? Okay, I would love to welcome you there. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 463 with a prompt of Trench. Episode 5 of the Pariah podcast is coming out this week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. That's 5 whole episodes. Come by, check it out. Here's my story. Do you want vanilla or Rocky Road? Bambi asked, opening the freezer door.
Depends. Do you have anything to put on it? Durgle asked.
I have chocolate syrup and chopped almonds.
Okay, vanilla then, Durgle said.
They sat across the dining room table. Durgle flattened his ice cream with his spoon, dug a trench down the middle, and filled it with chocolate syrup and nuts.
I've never met a boy named Bambi.
Well, yeah, Bambi said, putting down her spoon and scrunching her eyebrows at Durgle. It's a girl's name.
Not in the movie, Durgle said. Bambi was a boy.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here. And happy, happy daylight savings time. It's fun sitting here at 2 in the morning and watch it suddenly become 3 in the morning. Yay! Damn farmers. Anyway, here's my entry for this week. Trench. I've dug myself into a trench, and I do not know how to get out. Laying the foundation for your house isn't as easy as it looks when you're watching skilled professionals do all the work. Feels like something out of World War I, but I don't think they dug trenches 9 feet deep. At least the cement truck won't arrive for another hour. Wait, they're already here? Damn daylight savings time. I forgot to set the clocks forward. Can't they hear me screaming, help! I can't die now! Who's gonna water all my plants when I'm gone? And that's my entry for this week. You want to read this and any other entry that I've submitted, come to DannyDwyer.wordpress.com and have fun.
Tura Brezoinu here, with a story on trench. In a hole in the ground lived a hobbit, Tolkien famously wrote. He claimed the word was Anglo-Saxon, but he was at the Somme, and every soldier in the trenches knew about hobbits. Little creatures, like men, you'd glimpse from the corner of your eye. Some said, if you saw a hobbit's face, you'd die soon. Others, if you saw one running away, you'd die. Or if you didn't see one, you weren't long for it. Graveyard humour, you see. We were all going to die, until the war ended. But they liked holes in the ground. Everyone agreed on that.
My mother warned me about school. If I skipped too many classes or blew off my homework, I'd end up digging ditches. Well, I skipped a lot of classes, and I don't remember turning in a single bit of homework. And I didn't end up digging a single ditch. I dig trenches, not ditches. A ditch is something you dig along the side of the road. It's wider and longer as it is deep. A trench is deeper than it is long or wide. What? The power's out. You smell gas? Better stop the backhoe and check the map again.
So that's it for this week's 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, topic of trench. The next topic will be south. Thank you very much to everyone who was a part of this weekly challenge, whether you listened, wrote a story, recorded it, that kind of stuff, did a dance. Apparently it's International Women's Day, so there you go, International Women, rock on. I'll see y'all next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.